All right. On this, I ain't sure what Sunday this is, but on this cold Sunday, March Sunday morning, they say next week's first week of spring. You wouldn't know it by the weather. It just came like a yo-yo. Gets cold, hot, and colder, and far cry from spring, as far as I'm concerned. But on this pretty Sunday, cold morning, we're going to be teaching again out of St. John chapter 11. We stopped at verse 22 last week, and I really enjoyed teaching out of St. John. I always tell everyone that gets saved, I try to help them, because when they get saved, they're just a babe. They're just so vulnerable. And I always tell everybody that gets saved to at least read the Gospel of St. John.
Yeah.
It's almost like a mini Bible. It's got pretty much everything in it that a babe in Christ needs. It's got everything in it for a mature Christian, a good soldier of the cross. But the Gospel of John is a good place to point someone to start reading their Bible. It would be better if I had started in St. John and read it all the way through, and then went to Genesis instead of starting at Genesis and working my way to John. John's a good foundation for your faith to rest on. And in this chapter here, the chapter where Jesus is going to raise Lazarus, there's a lot of doctrine that's described and very detailed in this story about Lazarus. And Jesus, you know, he's kind of blunt about these circumstances. And the world, they wonder, where was God at when this happened? Why did God allow this and all of that? Well, this is kind of one of those situations. They don't understand why Jesus wasn't there.
Right.
And they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. And then the Lord tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, well, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. Verse 11 and 12. And Jesus just plainly told them Lazarus is dead. He realized they missed the message of Lazarus sleeping. And they couldn't understand that Lazarus was dead. And he went on even more bluntly and said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And, Martha, she says, verse 21, if you'd been here, my brother not died. But she exercised a little faith in verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She believes enough to believe that Jesus can do something about her brother's death. She don't know exactly what he's going to do. He does, but she don't.
Right.
So we'll start here in verse number 23. I just wanted to recap what we already went over. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, a lot of preachers, they'll preach something and their goal is to try to get a point across. And Jesus in his statement here, in the same way, he's trying to get a point across to Martha, your brother is going to live again. Mm-hmm. And Martha, kind of subconsciously, she just says to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, that's pretty doctrinal true, what right. She says right there, but it doesn't line up with what Jesus is getting ready to do. And you know, I like her statement. She says, Lord, I know whatsoever you ask, God will give it to you. And she's got faith. And she says, I know my brother's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus, he just kind of cuts the chase here. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Right.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I like those two verses right
Amen.
There.
Because
I've never liked the subject of dying. And people, they'll spend a lot of money trying to get around the issue of death.
Yeah.
They'll go to a doctor, kind of like that woman with that issue of blood. They'll suffer many things. I'm real cautious about doctors. Maybe I shouldn't be. But they'll suffer many things because they don't want to die. They want to live. I'm not speaking against that. I know Jesus said all that a man has, he'll give for his life. And I heard a story one time about a very rich man. And he told a doctor, he said, "For every hour you can keep me alive, I'll give you so much money." And the doctor looked at him and he said, "I'm not God, buddy. I'll do the best I can."
Yeah.
"And don't worry, I'll charge you accordingly." But some people think that money is somehow an advantage when it comes to death. Somehow they think if I've got enough money, I can evade the subject matter of death. I know the cheapest way, just go to Jesus and repent
right.
of the fact that you're a hell-deserving sinner, and repent of the fact that you went through life not realizing you need the Lord, and receive the Lord by humble childlike faith, and rejoice in the fact that now you've got eternal life and death no longer can lay any claim to you. But you know what? To some people, there's got to be more to it than that. To some people, that's too simple. Paul said men have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ. To some people, Felix accused Paul of being mad. He said, "Much learning doesn't make thee mad." There's sarcasm, or they're sarcastic about giving their heart to the Lord. To some people, they think, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to do this the way I think instead of accepting God's way." They'll try to go some other way, and they'll try to somehow go through the back door. We just had an episode come up about people trying to promote their children through college without doing it the right way. They take money and through bribes and some kind of backdoor deal, get their children in college. And you know, even though they're able to do that, don't make it right.
No.
But Jesus here, Martha here, she knows her brother's going to live again. That's a blessing right there.
Yes, it is.
You know what? If there wasn't a resurrection, if there wasn't, you know, Paul said if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, "We're yet in our sins, and there's nothing to look forward to." He said, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." In other words, he said, "Let's live for today, for there's no need in trying to live righteous, godly, and sober. There's no gain to it." But he said, "Yea, but Christ is risen from the dead."
Right.
Well, Martha here, I appreciate her faith. Jesus, he honored her faith. But he gave her a little more to go along with her faith. And I like what he said. He said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And boy, I tell you what, when you're looking the resurrection and the faith, you're forgetting all about funerals. You're forgetting all about family. And you realize that, boy, look what here. Look what's here. Jesus has power over life and death.
Yes, he does.
And he said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then he went on a little further because that's kind of what she said. He said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Those are profound statements. If the world could accept those two verses right there, if they could somehow swallow their pride, if they could somehow denounce their carnality, you know, the carnal minds and ending with God, if they could somehow turn from the way of the world to God, and you know, the Bible says a lot about the way of the world, and it says though hand joined with hand, yet it's still not going to overthrow God. And,
right.
And you know, there is a lot of that. What's the polls saying? More people are doing this than what you're saying. Well, I preached a while back about one man against 850. The poll didn't go too good in that story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. But the world, they just can't step down from their high horse and humble themselves and receive the message of love, the message of hope, the hand of help from Jesus. And Martha, she's listening. Verse 27, she said unto him, "Yea, Lord." In other words, she said, I agree with what you said. And she said, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world." You know, she's telling him, I believe everything you said. She's agreeing with him. The Bible said all the promises of God in Christ or in Him are yea and amen. She says, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ." She received what he said.
Yeah.
And when she had so said, she went her way. That satisfied her. I want you to know she ain't arguing no more.
That's right.
And you know, it'd be good if the world could accept what God says and go their way. Lots of times you read out in the Bible about someone, you know, come to Jesus. I think there was a man come to Jesus by his servant being sick, and the Lord told him that he'll live, and he went his way, and someone come to him, you know, maybe a couple of days later or something like that, and said, "Your servant lived." And yes, you know what, when it happened, it was the very hour that he believed what Jesus had said. And the world, they just can't do that. But Martha did. I like that. Said she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master's come and calleth for thee." Now Mary and Martha, they're both sisters, brothers. Lazarus is their brother. And Jesus loves all three of them. And as soon as she, talking about Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him.
Yep.
Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, when the Jews then which were with her in the house, comforting her, and that's good. You know, I do want to try to comfort people and try to console them.
Yes.
And speak words of comfort. But no one can comfort like the Lord can. And there, you know, that bunch that tried to comfort Job, he said, "You're miserable comforters." Yeah. But anyway, that's about what we are. Those Jews which were in the house comforting her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." They thought maybe, you know, that she was going somewhere other than to Jesus. And their observation wasn't true. They saw her in a haste leaving, and they thought she was going to go to the grave to weep over Lazarus.
Yeah.
Says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." That's the same thing that Martha said in verse 21. And she just kind of repeated in the same spirit of you know, loss. You know, she said, "Lord, my brother's dead if you'd have been here." And that's kind of true. They couldn't have a funeral unless Jesus wasn't there, because everywhere he showed up, the dead got up. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, he was not God of the dead, he is God of the living.
Amen.
And wherever he was, the dead got up.
Right.
And Jesus, verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came in with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. Now the Lord, the Bible said, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And that's good. You know, you're going to worship something.
Yeah.
Some people may not worship the right things, but even the heathens in the darkest places of this earth, they've got some kind of something that they worship.
Yeah.
And those idols or those objects that they make and they set up, you know, and they say, "You're my God, I'm going to trust in you," they're not touched by the feelings of infirmities. But Jesus, being the true God that loves us, that comes to us, you know, I like this verse. It's in John chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come to you." And here he is. And not only has he come to Martha and Mary, but he's comforted them. And as he's comforting them, he's groaning in the spirit, and he's also troubled because he has to do what he has to do, and they don't understand it, and it's not really declared here yet that they're going to even believe what he done. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say here, but we're going to get to the shortest verse of the Bible in next verse right here, or not next verse, but in verse 35, right. Jesus wept. But he said, verse 34, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. That's important. Jesus wept, one, because of the emotion of these Jews and of Mary, but he also wept because they just wouldn't believe on him no matter what he did.
All right.
And that's the worst case scenario here. But when Jesus wept, verse 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." And that's true. But he's weeping because of their unbelief. He kind of brought it out there in verse 15 when he's kind of rebuking his disciples. And he says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." This is an emotional thing to Jesus because they won't believe him no matter what he does. But also, Mary's weeping and the Jews is weeping. And my pastor said he's glad this verse is in there because he said he had to learn a verse in school. And this was short enough that he could remember it. Jesus wept.
Yeah.
And the Jews have noticed him weeping. And they noted it, not only that he's weeping, but they declared that he loved Lazarus, and he did. Verse 37, "Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Now I want you to know they remembered him opening the eyes of that one born blind. That's important.
Yes.
Because all of the works that Jesus did was to give honor to God. And you know, to declare that he was the one they were looking for.
Yeah.
He was doing the works. That's why he said, "For what good work will you stone me?" And he said in verse 10 of verse 37, he said, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, you believe not me. Believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." But they just would not accept him. They took up stones to stone him. In John 10, verse 31, Jesus answered them, said, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And they just really would never accept who he was, what he did. It's kind of like President Trump. They just kind of give him the blame for everything.
Right.
And these Jews did remember, though, in St. John chapter 9, that he had opened the eyes of one born blind, and he's fixing to do a greater miracle than that. But verse 38, "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave." It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." I preached a message one time about taking away the stone and how we get so many things between us and God.
Yeah.
But Martha, the sister of him that was dead, that's Lazarus' sister, she said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, I've made mention this before, but I want to say it again. The Jews believed that you could actually get up from the dead up to 3 days.
Yeah.
And after 4 days, they was willing to conclude that you were dead.
Right.
She says, "He's been dead 4 days." In other words, she said, "He's really dead. And by this time, he stinks." Jesus saith unto her, "Said not I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe?" See, his whole mission is to get them to believe.
Right.
His disciples
right.
are struggling. Martha's struggling. She's doing better than most of them, though. But he's saying to her, Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now he's kind of pulling back the curtain here. He said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? The world, they could see, but in order to see, they would have to accept the fact that Jesus was God, done the works of God, and that just leaves a bad taste in their mouth. There's more effort being made right now. Well, let me just insert this in this Sunday school lesson. I was listening to Lee Watts on King of Kings Radio yesterday. He comes on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And in our state, in Kentucky, there's a bill right now, they're trying to pass it to expand gambling in Kentucky. And he gave the phone number here. Call 1-800-372-7181 and tell them no, you don't want expanded gambling in Kentucky. And there's also an effort, a bill being passed to take away the national motto, "In God We Trust," that's on our money. And that bill is called House Bill 46, I believe that's right, yeah. And it's already passed, but it's in limbo, they're sitting on it. And he said, call your state level senator and tell him you want that bill to move on through. And that's a Frankfurt number that I gave, that 1-800-372-7181. These leaders, these senators, these congressmen, legislators, they're not doing their job.
No.
But also there's a Campus Free Speech Act, House Bill number 254, and we need them to pass that so it won't be censored. If you want to try to talk to someone out there on the campus about the Lord, that it won't be a felony, and they're not voting on it. And he said, if you want to know who's not voting on it, he said, I took a picture. And he said, you can go to Facebook or the Lee Watts website and you can see who's not voting on it. You can actually see how they voted if you want to. But constitutional carrying rights, you know, they're just not doing their job. And that's some of the things going on. And the Lord here, again, he said, if you believe, he said, you'd see the glory of God. Well, there's a, you know, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Somehow or another, they think they're able to function without God. And many people fit this category. And yet, the truth of the matter is that in God, we live and move and have our being. There's just no way around God. Pilate's wife told him not to have nothing to do with this just man talking about Jesus. She said, I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. My pastor preached a message one time, Sharon, called Mission Impossible. How not to have anything to do with Jesus. He's either going to be your Savior. He's either going to be your Savior or he's going to be your judge. But there's no way not to have anything to do with Jesus. But the world wants to try to figure out a way around having anything to do with him.
Right.
And he kind of tells Mary, he said, I told you if you just believe, you'd see the glory of God. He's kind of disclosing what he's fixing to do. Because he said, take away the stone. And there's a little bit of a disagreement with that statement there about taking away the stone. Martha said, he'd been dead 4 days, but now he's stinking. And verse 41 said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
Yeah.
I want you to notice how Jesus starts his prayer. The Bible said in everything, giving thanks.
Yeah,
I preached that funeral. That young boy got killed up here at Smith's Grove, Josh Thomas. And in that funeral, I went back there and I said, I can't prove this, but there's a good possibility that a lot of our sicknesses, a lot of the things that plague us, cancer and everything else, could very well proceed from us eating without even giving thanks over what we're eating. I'm scared of what's going on today without turning thanks over and saying, Lord, If you don't care, bless this, make sure. If there's anything wrong with it, take care of it before it goes in my body.
Right.
But you know, we ought to do that. That little giving of thanks gives glory to God and give God a good reason to spare you what could come up on you if you didn't. You know, the devil's sitting there right now saying, they didn't turn thanks, can I have them?
Yeah.
He has to get permission, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
But we do need to learn to be thankful, to turn thanks. I get up every morning, Lord, thank you for another day. I fell on my head tonight, Lord, thank you for getting me through a day. I just took a long journey yesterday down in Memphis, Tennessee. I got down and prayed. I said, Lord, if you don't care, help me get there safely. Help this truck to hold up. Help me make it back home safely.
Right.
Help me to hold up. Help the truck to hold up. But you know what? That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Not only are you giving God glory when you do pray like that, but I'll tell you what, you need that. I want the Lord to spare me what could come upon me if I don't pray. It makes a difference. And if it does come upon me, I say, Lord, I still need you.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, but He's a very present help time of trouble. He's our refuge and strength. But Jesus starts out His prayer, and it's a model prayer. He said, Father, you see, He's my Father now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can say Abba, Father, which means Papa. Because
right.
See, I got adopted in the family of God. I got brought in through the new living way. The veil's been rent from the top to the bottom. And I'm in the family of God. Somebody sung a song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Yes.
Join heirs with Jesus. As we travel, I don't know the words to it, can't sing a lick neither. But I am glad that He's my Father now. But Jesus here starts out, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me.
Yeah.
He said, and I knew that Thou hearest me always. You know, that's one thing when you pray to have faith. We prayed last night over at church last night, and I kind of got blessed. Not only how many men showed up, there's probably 25 men there last night. I thought we had a prayer meeting or church. Man, there's a lot of men showed up last night. But as we prayed, not only was I kind of blessed and encouraged, but I was also realizing that what I prayed, God was hearing. And you know, it's a blessing to know that God hears our prayers.
Yeah.
So they kind of rebuked that blind man in John 9, and they said, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. Well, I ain't a sinner no more. I'm saved sinner now. And, you know, I'm glad that I have a mediator now between me and God and need the Pope. And I have access to God now through Jesus. I don't have to go to the Pope. But anyway, he's praying here. And he's praying with joy and with confidence. He says, and I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. Someone said, you ought not pray, you know, audibly, but silently. And I pray both ways. I don't mean
that
it's not that you have to pray audibly. I pray silently lots of times.
Yes.
Sometimes I say, Lord, forgive them. I say, oh, Lord, help them. It's like me, the ignorant. But, you know, he prayed audibly on purpose because he wanted them to hear what he prayed.
Right.
He wanted them to understand why he's praying,
right,
who he's praying to, and you'll see here in a minute what becomes of this. But I like this. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. That's confidence and honor to God. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. That's faith. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. He's explaining why he's praying out loud audibly, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. The whole purpose of this whole episode is that they might believe on Him.
Right.
And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said if you didn't use Lazarus' name, they'd all got up.
I believe it.
And the reason I say, and they say that, is because of verse 25, Because Jesus is the resurrection.
Right.
He could have said, all y'all get up. Yep. And they'd have got up.
That's right.
But he specifically called out to Lazarus and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, all of these so-called healers and all of these walk on the waters of our day, like Rick said, won't they just go out to the hospital and heal them all?
That's right.
Why don't they go to the graveyard and call them all up? I'll tell you why they don't, because they don't have what Jesus had. Mm-hmm. He had a relationship with the Father. He said, the Father loveth me, and I love him. And he said, Father, I know you always hear me. And he said, I've got joy to know that you're going to hear me now. But because of these people that's around, I'm saying this humbly so they can understand and know who I am and that you sent me. That's the whole purpose of this John chapter 11. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now verse 44 probably shook a lot of them up. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot. They didn't have a lot of faith. They got him, well, I don't know how he got it. He had to come out of there like a worm. Mm-hmm. With grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Now, he's prayed, he's called, and now Lazarus has come forth. Yeah. And the world, I don't know what they do with that. I'm going to say that they say, well, you know, it's just fairy tales, it's just fables. Well, I'll tell you what, the people that was there, they would probably have a different opinion, and they say there's no proof. And then 1 John said we handled the word of life. Peter said we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Right.
They said the voice that spoke on the Mount of Transfiguration, they said we heard. No matter how many witnesses, no matter what you do, they just ain't going to believe.
No.
And Jesus, his mission here, is trying to get them to believe. He's doing works that no one but him can do. And here's the finished work. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. Now I'm going to say about right now, Martha and Mary is probably running from out of their shoes having a hallelujah party.
Yes, they are.
Now they already know that if Jesus had been there, the brother wouldn't have died. And they already believe that Jesus can still do something. But now that he's done something, I'm going to say they're probably, they're probably hair pants flying everywhere. I don't know. I don't know how they had their hair done up back in, but I'm going to say they about lost it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
And now these Jews was probably scratching their pointed heads saying, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
Who in the world is this son of Joseph here? And he calls them to get up out of the grave. I'll just tell you, there's just a whole lot going on right here. It's not contained in the scripture here. But I'll tell you right now, there's a whole lot of excitement between verse 44 and verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. That was his goal, was to get them to believe on him. And they did, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You can always count on the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. However, many believed on Jesus.
Yeah.
They saw the things he did. They heard the things he said. However, even with that, some of them refused to believe.
Yeah.
Troublemakers, I guess you could call them. Verse 46. They went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, you look at the actions of the Pharisees, you'd think this would be good news. I mean, here Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. That ought to make any Pharisee happy. But they're jealous of Jesus, kind of like our government is about President Trump. I don't mean to bring President Trump in everything, but he's a good example of they despise those that do right. They've dug and dug and dug and dug and found nothing.
That's right.
And they won't trying some other way to stir up some other kind of propaganda. But anyway, some people are just like these in verse 46. No matter what they see, no matter what, they're going to still go and try to stir up trouble. And they went straight to the Pharisees for no other reason than to get some trouble stirred up.
Uh-huh.
Verse 47, then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles. They couldn't accept him. They couldn't accept what he did. They're trying to figure out some way to get rid of him or to stop, because all these people are turning from them to him. And they said, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. What's wrong with that? And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. There it is right there.
Yeah.
You see, we come in this world with nothing. And it's certain we're going to leave with nothing. But for some reason, they hear, watch children play. There's a whole pile of toys down there. Mine! Mine!
Yeah.
And they get fighting over them. When they can take turns, or probably enough toys go all the way around, but it's just one, maybe there's one red one amidst all of them, and they pick it up and fight over it. Well, that's kind of what's going on right here. They don't want to give any place to the Lord. They don't want to give up any position that they feel like somehow they deserve or somehow they've earned by whatever amount of money or whatever means that they've achieved it. And they said, if we let him thus alone, that's kind of scary. They had a plan all along to overthrow President Trump. And that's why I say I don't mean to get political and don't hold it against me, but it's a good illustration of what's going on even right here.
Yeah.
You know, they said, you know, we've got, I believe that was at a texting back and forth between the FBI members there. You know, we've got a plan. We got safeguard. We got some kind of way of overthrowing. If he was to win, we got a way, you know, of coming in, you know, and getting him unelected. Well, it's kind of right, same thing right here. They said if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. What's the other option they had other than what's said right there in verse 48? They could have just accepted it.
That's right.
They could have just said, we want to see and hear more about this. They could have accepted it, but they're putting it like, you know, they're putting it like in a bad light or in a bad you know, instead of accepting it, they're putting it in a, you know, like we got to do something. I can't get the words in my head of what they're trying to do. They're conspiring, you know, they're conspiring against Jesus. And one of them, verse 49, named Caiaphas, being the high priest. Now, the high priest has a whole lot to say with Pharisees, Sadducees, and Jews. The high priest that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all. In other words, he's just rebuking them. He said, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one should die for the people and that the whole nation should perish not. Now I want you to look at verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. What he spoke was a prophecy. What he spoke was from the Spirit of God. And he kind of rebukes them. They're up there trying to figure out, what can we do? We can't leave him alone. People are believing on him. And we're going to lose our place and our nation. And Caiaphas, the high priest, kind of like the Supreme Court of our day, he says, you know nothing at all. He said it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. And you know what? That should have been enough. They should have received it coming from the high priest.
Right.
And verse 52, not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put Jesus to death. In other words, no preaching, no prophecy, no plan other than put Jesus to death.
Yeah.
Now, this verse kind of may have more than one meaning. Maybe they think if they put him to death, they're going to be spared, because that's not the manner of death. He's going to die. But, you know, maybe they're taking what Caiaphas said here, that one man should die for the people. Maybe they're thinking that they should put him to death. Or maybe they're thinking we're still going to put him to death, or we're still going to try to. I don't know. That verse 53 could kind of go two different ways. But verse 54, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence to a country near to the wilderness, into a city called, wait a minute here, I'm one page too far, to a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given commandment that if any man knew where he was, that he should show it, that they might take him. Their plan is to somehow arrest Jesus, maybe kill Jesus, but that's not the plan of God. And that's why he withdrew himself from them. And he come down here to die, but not the way they wanted to die.
Right.
He's not going to die at the hand of man. He's going to die at the hand of God. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And not only did he take it, but there was no other way. If he not took it, we'd have been without hope, without help in the world. Hey, fellas, we've not had any way of being forgiven of our sins. But the perfect Lamb of God died the perfect death, perfect sacrifice, got in the perfect resurrection, but it wasn't going to be by the hand of man. It was going to be, if you ever thought about how many prophecies that were fulfilled at Calvary, it's amazing. I've heard just this week, me and Donnie was riding around, went down to Burksville to look at some arrowheads, and we were listening to Adrian Rogers, and he was going down the long list of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he went to Calvary. And I know a lot of Bible. I have to admit, it's just hard to take in how many prophecies he fulfilled when he said it's finished. But they wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him.
Right.
They couldn't get rid of him. They couldn't kill him. He's sitting there showing himself to be God. He's doing the works of God. He's no more than their Messiah. But they just won't accept it. They won't let him have any place at all. Kind of true still today.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to stop right there, even though it's 15 minutes till.
Okay.
Give everybody a chance to fellowship a little bit.